Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Welcome to Red or Dead, a bi-weekly podcast where we talk about the world of mysteries and thrillers. This is episode 152, and we are recording on Tuesday, May 2nd. I'm Katie McLean Horner, along with Kendra Winchester, and we are coming to you from Book Riot. Hi, Kendra. How are you doing today?
Hello, Katie. I'm doing okay. I'm recovering from a cold, so thank you all for appreciating my lovely, gravelly voice. I have my tea ready. But yeah, I'm going to sound like a little croaky today.
That is all right. No judgment from me. Colds suck. And I'll just generally, illnesses stink, and they are a very major design flaw, and I would like to take it up with someone's manager.
I mean, I'm sure, I don't know what angel is the project manager of heaven, but maybe we could submit like a request.
Yeah, I have one of my coworkers has a son who just turned one a couple of months ago, and she has been out sick like 8 times in the last 6 months. And every time she comes back, she is like, 1 out of 10, do not recommend. I want to know whose bright idea this was. Not to have a kid, but illnesses in general. She's like, I want to talk to the person who invented illness because I have some thoughts.
Yeah. It's, I don't know, we went on a family vacation, the whole family, for the most part, got it. So I just hold on to it longer. My spouse was like, why is it everyone gets sick, but they're fine, but you're not? And I'm like, thanks. I don't know. Like, so we went to urgent care. And so I feel like once you realize I don't know, wasn't enjoying the whole experience. It was like, oh, right. She just, you know, you can't really choose these things. So that was entertaining. But no, I've been like sitting playing Curse of the Lamb on Switch, murdering my cult followers for power. And it's been enjoyable. That's been enjoyable on that end. You would love the game, Katie. It's way up your alley. Very violent and demented, so.
Oh my god. I've got to consider maybe a rebranding here. Then again, like, I had a coworker who sent me a TikTok video. She's like, I feel like this is right up your alley. And it's a video of an armadillo bouncing around in a ball collecting foliage. And I'm like, why is this my brand? And she's like, cute animals doing funny things. I'm like, oh, I was thinking, like, hopping rodent-like animal. Collecting leaves. I thought that was what triggered you going, you know what? Katie might like this.
Well, now whenever I see a very like gory described horror novel, I'm like, oh, that's a Katie book.
Yep. No, a lot of people have picked that up very quickly. I only tell them once. And then after that, they're like, Katie, you would love this. Now, that being said, over the weekend, Blaine and I, we went out to dinner, and then we came back and he wanted to watch it, and he said, can we watch a movie? I said, sure. Well, he picked the Evil Dead remake from 2013, which I had on my do not watch list because the trailer freaked me out. And I gore in a movie, I don't always do well with it. And so in extreme cases, I usually avoid it. And so I was like, why are we watching this? He was like, I really liked it when it came out and I want to see the new one. I'm like, oh. So we watched it and I spent a good chunk of it hollering into the pillow. Just holding the pillow up, just going, oh my God. So yeah. So I guess my point in sharing that is there sometimes it can just be a little too much, even for me. So even I have my limits.
Well, how are you doing? You doing all right?
Yeah, no, I'm doing fine. I'm trying to get ready for or get as much work done ahead of time as I can, because next week I leave on vacation to go with my family and hopefully none of us get sick. Usually if I get sick on a vacation, it's usually like after the fact. So yeah, hoping everyone in my family can stay healthy.
I'm crossing my fingers.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I came back from our last vacation with a cold that half of Blaine's family got. And so after we all get back, we're all sharing notes. We're like, ugh, do you guys have a cold? Yes. I feel terrible.
I feel like with our social distancing, all everyone's immune systems are still readjusting for sure. So we're all like getting whatever. I will say my sister-in-law did not get the cold. And I'm glad for her because she had to fly back to Ireland. Ooh. So, yeah. So, happy for her, but also, like, I want to know what she did.
Yeah, they're the one person who doesn't get it, and you're like, oh.
Yeah, yeah. So, but I'm glad she didn't, because that would be miserable to be on that long of a flight, especially. Ugh. So, but it was otherwise it was good. The corgis went to the beach and all of that type of stuff. So, lots of cute corgi photos. So if you subscribe to the True Story newsletter, you will see photos of the corgis on the beach.
Yes, I very much enjoy seeing all of your corgi photos. And yeah, I love reading your little descriptions of them. Good, and especially them trying testing out the ocean, seeing what they think about this whole ocean thing.
Yeah. Let me tell you, Gwen got bowled over by a wave and she was like, I'm not here for it now. And Dylan loves, you know, the water. So he's just frolicking and frapping about. And she's just like, nope, I'm done. So I call her my mountain. We're the mountain girls with the beach boys.
Oh, so. That's great. I love it. A very aquatic little corgi.
Well, what have you been reading before we get too distracted by corgis on the beach?
Yes. Well, yeah, the last couple of weeks, I feel like I say this every time, but the last couple of weeks have been like really like struggling in terms of just like basic adulting. So reading was not super high on my list. I had a couple of like comedy audiobooks, short ones that I was listening to on my commute to and from work, which was helpful. But today I just started listening to a full-length fiction audiobook. I started listening to Devolution by Max Brooks, and this one had been on my to-read list ever since it was published. I read World War Z, you know, probably about a decade ago, and I loved it so much. And Devolution is Max Brooks's his fictional take, and it's written in kind of a similar style to World War Z, with like, it's the story is told through like interviews and like news articles and like audio recordings. It's a very kind of patchwork type of narration style, which I really, really love. But it's about a small town in Washington that was allegedly just absolutely destroyed by Bigfoot. And that is just 100% up my alley. As soon as he said it was about Bigfoot, I'm like, yes, I am so here for this book. And I'm only just a few minutes into it. Like, they've introduced the concept of Bigfoot in the introduction to the book, but it's taking its time getting started. And yeah, I'm like maybe a half hour into it. Like, I literally just started it on my way home from work today. But it feels good to listen to an audiobook. I am going on vacation to Colorado Springs, where if you drive up Pikes Peak, I'm hoping it's still there. There is a caution Bigfoot crossing sign about maybe not halfway up the mountain, maybe like a third of the way up the mountain. And it's like one of my absolute favorite things. We always stop and take a picture with it every time we drive up Pikes Peak. So I thought this was appropriate. This was appropriate listening. But yeah, so that's the Devolution by Max Brooks. And the audiobook is read by a full cast. And Judy Greer does part of the narration, which threw me off just a little bit because I love Judy Greer, but she has such a distinct voice. And I know her from so many distinct character roles that I wasn't like, oh, hey, I'm listening to a story. I'm like, wow, that's Judy Greer. So that I'm going to have to get adjusted to that. But yeah, overall, glad to have an audiobook going.
You know, an audiobook just really helps whatever you're doing.
Yeah, it really does. And I wish that I was doing more things that allowed me to multitask like that. Because part of the struggle is also like, I have these things that I need to do, but I'm like, I have so many other things that I would rather be doing. And so if I can combine the two, it's a win-win.
Story of our lives. Yep. Yes. Well, I have not been reading anything that I will that is mystery or thriller. Wow, that was way too hard to say. One of them I will be talking about today, but the other ones are either for nonfiction or I'm just finishing up a fantasy novel, that kind of thing. But yeah, just been puttering about, really, aside from, you know, sacrificing my followers to the gods on Cult of the Lamb. So, you know, they really should sponsor us, I think. Cult of the Lamb would be great. just a side note, if they're listening. Well, I guess, should I then talk about the special announcement from Book Riot next?
Yes.
Awesome. All right. So I am very excited because I've been listening to the Book Riot podcast since, I think, 2015. Love it. It's one of the what's really got me into listening to a lot of podcasts besides public radio. And so now the co-founder of Book Riot, Jeff O'Neill, and one of the co-hosts of the Book Riot main flagship podcast, whatever, he has created a brand new podcast called First Edition. And it includes segments, which is really cool. I think a lot of book podcasts are like one kind of thing. They talk about books or they'll do interviews or whatever, but he's actually including a wide variety of segments in one episode. So they're longer episodes. He'll do interviews, lists, rankings, retrospectives, recommendations. They talk about book adaptions. I recently listened to an episode where Kelly and Vanessa, editors of Book Riot, talked to Jeff about Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, and how it's still relevant to young people today. I love Rebecca and Jeff, the original dynamic duo, and they talk about in a segment about the It Book of April, and they had very strong opinions, and I also did, listening. And it's one of those where you can disagree, and that is the whole point. You feel like you're having this conversation with both of them, and that is really cool. And then you also talk to experts in the field of books in various ways. You can hear from Professor Erica Williams about Nella Larson in honor of the new Complete Fiction of Nella Larson collection. He also interviews a book editor and like his process. And I think it's really interesting because we often in the bookish world, we don't actually get a lot of industry side news. I do both. So I'm aware, like, I get that. But like, I feel like generally for readers, for general book lovers, we sometimes I feel like we're talked down to a little bit on that side of things. So I really appreciate Jeff and him just running the gambit of all sorts of different kinds of segments. So I would definitely recommend checking out that podcast. And it comes with a Substack. So you can head over to Substack and subscribe to First Edition. And I believe there are social media accounts on Twitter and Instagram as well. So would highly recommend. I'm really enjoying the content I'm seeing so far. And yeah, it'll be linked in the show notes.
Yeah, that sounds really, really awesome. And yeah, honestly, my Red or Dead recording is about the extent of what I do with podcasts recently. I really appreciate podcasts that do provide a variety of segments or, you know, present content in a variety of ways. Because I agree that like a lot of bookish podcasts nowadays just feel either very one-sided or it's just like, oh, it's an interview, an interview, an interview. And it's like, okay, come on, let's mix it up a little bit. Let's keep it interesting. So yes, we will definitely have a link to that in the show notes. And let's go ahead and take a quick pause for our first sponsor.
Today's episode is brought to you by Bloom Books. Taming Seven is an epic and unforgettable love story in the international best-selling and TikTok phenomenon The Boys of Tommen series from Chloe Walsh. So Tommen's cheekiest lad, Jared Gibsy Gibson, has always been a comedian, but inside he is haunted by events of the past and he uses humor to cope, hiding his true self from the world. Then you have Claire Biggs, who is the epitome of sunshine. She's always loved Gibsy, her brother's friend and her favorite neighbor. She also has always seen a side to him that no one else seems to notice, and she becomes determined to tame her wild-at-heart childhood best friend. So the Boys of Tommen series is an internationally best-selling YA romance series that has taken TikTok by storm. It's perfect for readers looking for new adult slash crossover romance, dual point of views, friends to lovers, marathon worthy TikTok books, and angsty tearjerkers. Taming Seven is published today and it's the fifth book in the series, so make sure to check it out. And thanks again to Bloom Books for sponsoring this episode. Today's episode is brought to you by W.W. Norton and Company Incorporated. So, Negative Space by Jillian Linden follows a week in the life of an English teacher at a New York private school. At home, her children ask constant questions about mortality, and her husband offers occasional counsel between Zoom calls. At school, something happens. She accidentally witnesses an ambiguous, possibly inappropriate interaction between a teacher and a student, but how can she be sure of what she saw? Negative Space is a portrait of a woman caught between the pressures of what's normal and what isn't, and examines what we owe the people who depend on us in a fractured and indifferent world. It's a debut novel and a short novel. It's perfect if you want something quick and easy to carry around, but it's also thought-provoking. It takes place during the pandemic, but it's not pandemic-focused, and it really just looks at everyday anxieties in low-threat situations that have high consequences. So make sure to check out Negative Space by Jillian Linden. And thanks again to W.W. Norton and Company Incorporated for sponsoring this episode.
All right. So if you are new to the show, welcome. We don't usually talk about illnesses that much in the first 5 minutes or so. We're not usually that sick. If you are a longtime listener, welcome back. We are so delighted to have you with us every 2 weeks. It makes us very, very happy. And as we mentioned at the beginning of the show, we talk about mysteries and suspense and just about anything that falls under that ginormous umbrella. So yeah, we might be talking about movie adaptations, award news, author read-alike, subgenres that we haven't explored a ton, or subgenres that have become really popular. Anything along those lines. If it's mysterious and suspenseful, it is probably fair game for us to talk about. So this is the part of the episode where we always put out a call to our listeners, because they really do help us plan for so many episodes that we've recorded over the last almost 6 years now. It's a great way for us to know what you, the listeners, would like to hear more of. It's a great way for us to expand our own reading horizons. And yeah, we've just gotten some really fabulous ideas from listeners in the past, and we really do use the suggestions. So if you have any ideas, you can shoot us an email or reach out to us via social media. We're going to have all of our contact information at the end of the show and in the show notes. We just put the call out ahead of time at the beginning of the episode to get those creative juices flowing while you listen. And even if you don't have an idea for us and you just want to say hi, there is nothing that we enjoy more than hearing from people that they enjoy listening to us. So please feel free to send us such a note if you feel so inclined. And if you enjoy listening to Red or Dead, definitely hop on over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review so that other people can find us. And with that, the big news that, of course, we must talk about, big news that happens around this time of year every year, is the Edgar Awards. The Edgar Awards were announced, I believe, last week? Yes, last week. And that is always really exciting. We did, a few episodes ago, we did our Edgar preview episode where we each talked about a couple of the books that we had read or were looking forward to reading for the different categories. And I always think that there's just such a great lineup of authors, and I just think it gets better and better every year. And I was excited this year because I looked at the nominees and I was like, wow, I've actually read more of the authors on here than I realized. You know, this is great. And none of the books that I read ended up winning one of the Edgars, which is sad, and also a sign that I need to do more reading. But for the ones that did win, I have heard excellent things about them, and a couple of them are on my TBR already. And yeah, so Kendra, did you have any favorites that won, or were you like me and like all of your books that you were familiar with ended up not winning?
Yeah, I did not know many of the books that won. The ones that I had read from the various shortlists did not win. So I agree with you. I feel like that means that there are even more books on my TBR now. The never-ending TBR wall that is in my living room grows by the day. It really does.
Yeah. And of course, that's why, you know, I love award shortlists almost more than I love the winners, because it gives you more options. More ways to expand your TBR. But yeah, a couple of the highlights for best novel was Notes on an Execution by Danya Kukavka. And although I have not yet read this one, I know this was really popular amongst multiple book rioters. And it's supposed to be just absolutely phenomenal. I do have a copy on my shelf. I just haven't gotten to it yet. But that one is particularly noteworthy because it's a fictional title, but it looks at, it has a very true crime element to it in that it's looking at the crimes that the main character committed. And he is about to be executed for his crimes, but the story is told, like the story of his crimes is told through the impact that his crimes had on other people and other and women in his life, which is an element of true crime that of actual true crime that really gets overshadowed a lot. Like, yes, yeah. So these crimes happen, but what about the people that are left behind, the people that are impacted? Whether it's family members or people who survived an attack or people who whose family members were murdered. It's supposed to bring just a really, a different perspective. It shouldn't be different, or it shouldn't seem unusual. But I know that when it came out, people were really, that was just one of the big things that they were talking about. So I know best novel, there was a very stacked category. So I think that just speaks extremely highly to the fact that this was the book that was chosen, and a sign that I need to bump it up farther on my list. But a couple of other highlights from the list. Best fact crime was Tell Me Everything, The Story of a Private Investigation by Erica Krause. Hideout by Louisa Luna won the Sue Grafton Memorial Award. And although I have not read Hideout yet, I did read the first book in Louisa Luna's series, and I really, really enjoyed it. So I was glad to see that she won an award, because, yeah, her first book was just really, really fantastic. And of course, categories for best critical and biographical, best first novel by an American author. That one was Don't Know Tough by Eli Craner. And yeah, just I think a really, really, really solid lineup this year of nominees and a solid lineup of winners. And if any of you have read any of the books that have won for any of the categories and have thoughts about them or particular recommendations, definitely, definitely let us know. Because, of course, with a long TBR, we need help prioritizing.
That is so true. I mean, I know I should read these books, but in what order is also a big question.
So, and of course, we'll have a link in the show notes too, so you can see all of the winners for this year's Edgar Awards. And now we can start gearing up for next year's. Yay!
Look forward to it.
Yep. All right. So with that, let's go ahead and jump into our main segment, which since you just came back from vacation, I'm about to go on vacation. We decided that we were going to talk about road trip books, and we specifically did not define what that was as we picked our books for this segment. So let me pass it off to you. And how do you define a road trip book?
Well, so for this theme, we're talking about books that we like to read on road trips, not books that are having a road trip in them specifically.
Although that would work too, if that's your jam.
That would work too. Yes. Yes. So for me, my spouse and I drive to various places. We don't really have family in town. So we often pick a road trip book. So I think of them in two different categories. For me, it's ones that I will listen with my spouse as we are on the road. So that has to be a specific type of book, usually very action-packed and like action-forward. And then I have books that I listen to while I'm on a road trip book. And usually, like, even if we're with a group, I need like an hour of, at least minimum, an hour of alone time to like recoup from so many people. And it's not like I obviously love these people, but I'm an introvert and we all need book time, right? So I just sit with my Switch and like an audiobook, and that is separate. So I picked one of each today to talk about. But yeah, those are my two my two big categories. Do you have categories for your road trip books?
Yeah, it's very similar to what you talked about. Now, my husband and I, when we... I'm thinking back on all of our vacations. Most of the times we fly places, but we did go on our big road trip last year through the Carolinas, and that we drove to a bunch of different places. We did not listen to a shared audiobook together, well, two reasons. One, my husband sleeps in the car a lot, and it's not like he'll announce, hey, I'm going to just, you know, I'm going to try to doze off. He just kind of falls asleep. And I'm like, well, I don't want to be listening to an audiobook, have him doze off in the middle of it, and then we have to back it up because he can't remember where he fell asleep. So there's that. And we also, he does read mysteries and thrillers, but we don't always have the same tastes. So I did pick my one title is specifically one that I would be good if you are driving with someone. And this actually would be one that both my husband and I have listened to separately. So we could listen to it together. But I think it makes a good choice for group listening if you are on the road with another person or more than one people. And more than one person. Wow. And my second one, I think, is because I also, when I think about like road trip reading or like vacation books, I'm thinking something that is going to grab your attention and just really hold it and keep you enthralled because you want entertainment, you want escapism, you want to be sucked in. And so, yeah, my other pick is one that I think falls into that category, whether you listen to it by yourself or with someone else. And it's also, although not explicitly road trip themed, it is definitely about a road trip, so to speak, gone bad. But I will jump into more details later. Why don't you go ahead and give us your first pick?
All right. So my first pick is Scorched Grace by Margot Doheny. And this is a mystery novel, like a hard-boiled, like a mystery novel about a chain-smoking tattooed gay nun, which, amazing, named Sister Holiday. And so she's out in the alley, like taking a smoke break from these cigarettes she's like confiscated from one of her students, and the school, the Catholic school where she teaches, is on fire. And so she goes in and she's able to rescue this kid, and then they go in and she has no idea who lit the school on fire. And that really kind of sets like the little dominoes in a row of her trying to figure out who is this arsonist and what they're doing. But we also obviously learn, like, what on earth Sister Holiday is doing teaching music to students that she doesn't necessarily even like. Like, what is going on? So we follow, like, her past and, like, all sorts of things. But it was really interesting. I think it's Mara Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
She reads the audiobook, and oh my goodness, I will listen to anything this woman narrates. Like, you want a nice, smoky, low kind of voice for Sister Holiday, and the novel is set in New Orleans, so it's a very slow, syrupy kind of pace of an atmosphere that you really want to be able to capture. And I think Mara Wilson does a great job. Sister Holiday is from New York, and so she's not Southern herself, but she kind of just accepts this new, slow, enveloping, humid atmosphere. I really love the whole listening experience. I would definitely recommend. And Katie, you recommended this book a few weeks ago.
Yeah, when we did our noir episode, and I'm like, yeah, if you this book is just dripping with noir and like the really like colorful, evocative sentences, and it's just, yeah, very, very much in that tradition. And yeah, you nailed it when you talked about Mara Wilson's narration. Like, she really kills it with this one. And of course, I am not as familiar with the work that she's done as an adult. I'm more familiar with her as Matilda from the movie in the mid-90s. So I was not expecting her to have a voice like that. And I was just like, whoa. I know she's done podcast work with the Welcome to Night Vale. And I know she's done other audiobooks and stuff. But yeah, she really kills it with this one.
Yeah. And this is this the first book in the Gillian Flynn books imprint?
Yes, it is.
Well, that is really cool. It's a nice way to start an imprint. So I, you know, it says online that it's supposed to be like the first in the series. I don't know where that information is coming from, but I hope it's true. So that is Court to Grace by Margot Dolhe. And what's your first pick, Katie?
Well, before we jump into that, let me take another quick pause for our second sponsor.
Today's episode is brought to you by Bloom Books. Charming, easygoing, and rich, Xavier Castillo has the world at his fingertips. He also has no interest in taking over his family's empire, but that hasn't stopped women from throwing themselves at him. Unless, of course, the woman in question is his publicist. The cool, the intelligent, the ambitious Sloane Kensington, who is a high-powered publicist who's used to dealing with difficult clients, but none infuriate or tempt her more than a certain billionaire heir with his stupid dimples and laid-back attitude. She may be forced to work with him, but she'll never fall for him because he's a client and that's all he'll ever be, right? Right, girl, like we all know. So just in case you didn't know, author Anna Wong is the best-selling author and book talk viral author of the Twisted Love series, the King of Sin series. Miss Wong got it going on, okay? Make sure to check out King of Sloth by Anna Wong. And thanks again to Bloom Books for sponsoring this episode. Today's episode is brought to you by Flatiron Books, publisher of 888 Love and the Divine Burden of Numbers by Abraham Chang. So this is an interesting love story. It's great for fans of Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow and High Fidelity. It's set in the mid-90s at NYU. And it follows young Wang, who has gotten the advice of love through Chinese numerology from his uncle. So he believes that he will have 7 great loves in his life. And then he meets Irena in 95. And she's like the best. She's brilliant, charismatic, quick-witted, funny. They fall in love. But the thing is, she's number 6. So if he is to have 7 great loves, does that mean his time with Irena is going to come to an end? So this is a love letter to Western pop culture, Eastern traditions, and being a first-generation New Yorker. Make sure to check it out. And thanks again to Flatiron Books, publisher of 888 Love and the Divine Burden of Numbers by Abraham Chang, for sponsoring this episode.
All right. So mine, like, this was actually the first book that jumped to my mind because I did listen to this on a little mini road trip about, oh, maybe not quite 10 years ago. But when I first started library science grad school, I was doing online classes, but once a semester, and then they quit doing this. So I didn't have to keep doing this every semester. But early on in the semester, there was like one weekend where the online students would drive to campus and you would meet in person for your classes, and you'd have like a day or two of work with your classmates in person. Sometimes there would be like a presentation that you were doing, but it was the idea to bring all the online students together for like one day or one weekend, and then everyone goes home. So this was at the University of Illinois, which is about 3.5 hours from where I live. And so I just kind of turned it into a weekend. I'd drive down like on a Friday, and then, you know, it would be like classes on a Saturday, and then I'd come back like Saturday afternoon or something. So this first book, I listened to on one of my commutes down to the University of Illinois, and it was a fantastic way to spend the time. But my first pick is The Martian by Andy Weir. And yes, I know this is a science fiction book. And I know that The Martian was like one of the big books that everyone was talking about like a decade ago. But I would like to just renew everyone's interest in this book. I know Andy Weir has written a couple of other books since then, but The Martian hit it big, and for good reason, because this is one of the most flat out, thrilling, entertaining books I have ever read in my life. And yes, it is 100% a science fiction novel, but there are so many elements of just a good, like, just a good thriller, like man versus nature type of thriller, that I think this 100% counts for a mystery thriller podcast. But if you have not read The Martian or seen the movie with Matt Damon, Mark Watney is an astronaut and he becomes one of the first people to walk on Mars. And he has only been on Mars for a couple of days when a dust storm kicks up and nearly kills him and his crew, and it forces his crew to evacuate and head back to Earth. They think he's dead. He's not. And so he's been kind of knocked unconscious on Mars, and he realizes that his crew has left him. And so he has to come up with a way to survive on Mars while waiting for his crew to hopefully get a message that he's trying to send through and come back to get him. And this book is very heavy on the science element of science fiction. And Andy Weir did his research when he was writing this book. He talked to NASA scientists and he talked to so many people to make sure that he got these details really right. And that's what I think one of the reasons that makes it so thrilling, because it is so believable. And everything that Mark Watney does to try and save or keep himself alive on Mars is rooted in real science, not made up science for science fiction where you're like, eh, that might be plausible, or wow, they really cut some corners with that one. Like, this is really, really plausible. So it is heavy on the science element, and there are definitely passages. I've read the book and I've listened to the audiobook, and it's easier to skim over some of the more technical parts in the book. So I will give that heads up if you listen to it on audio. But I picked this book as an option to read or to read or listen to if you have multiple people in the car, because aside from a healthy dose of F-bombs dropped in the book, Mark Watney does love a good swear word. It is, you know, it is ultimately entirely centered around the effort to bring him home. Like, there's no violence. There's no, you know, potential sexual content that other people might not be okay with. So unless you have someone in the car that really does not like listening to foul language done in a very humorous way, which fine, you know, not every book is for everyone, but it makes for a pretty good across-the-board recommendation. It's hysterical. Like, reading the book and listening to the audiobook was just an absolute treat. It's really funny. And it really is thrilling. Like, when I first read the book, I could not put it down for, like, the last 150 pages. Just tore through to the very end. And when it finished, I just wanted to run around and just smack people upside the head until they read this book, and after that is how I have determined the mark of a good book. Did it make me feel like I did at the end of The Martian? Like, that's now my litmus test. And I don't usually read science fiction. And so it was recommended to me by someone else who does not usually read science fiction or stuff with a science fiction bend to it. So that to me makes it even more compelling. But yeah, it's the man versus nature and how Mark has to survive the elements, has to understand like the kind of ecosystem of Mars and understand how his equipment works and how to fix it. And he has to MacGyver a bunch of stuff. And it is such a captivating, entertaining read, and it's one that I will happily hand out to literally every person that comes my way until the end of time. So, Kendra, did you read The Martian when it was a big thing that everyone was talking about?
I did. It was actually one of my spouse and I's like road trip books that we listened to together.
There you go.
Yeah, it's a really great audiobook.
Yes. I feel like the book had a very distinct tone to it and a very distinct sense of humor. And I think the audiobook really did a good job of capturing that. And one of my friend's husbands who doesn't read, or he likes graphic novels, he likes manga, he doesn't read a ton of fiction, but I introduced him to The Martian after reading this, and he listened to the audiobook, and my friend is like, he'll listen to it like once a year. Like, he just, that's his book that he listens to. Some people reread Lord of the Rings every year. He rereads The Martian.
That's really funny.
Yeah, it's, oh my gosh, it's so entertaining. And it's one of those books that, like, you know, everyone, well, not everyone, but a lot of people were familiar with when it came out and it was super huge. And then, you know, it's kind of died away. And so I'm like, you know what? This is a really good time to remind people of everyone how good The Martian is. So if you haven't read it yet, please read it before I come find you and smack you upside the head. And that's The Martian by Andy Weir.
All right, so my second pick is another road trip book, and that is Mapping the Interior by Stephen Graham Jones. And this is a novella, and Sam and I listened to this on a shorter road trip. And I think we all, you know, we talk a lot during our road trips. We're always like trying to solve the mysteries of the universe, but sometimes you just want to listen to an audiobook, but you don't want a huge commitment. And so that's why I think a novella can be great, because you have something to listen to that's narrative focused, that's maybe more plot driven, but like it's not going to be like listening to the Lord of the Rings trilogy. So we all need those. So we picked Stephen Graham Jones because we both love Mongrels, and I've read several other books of his, and I just love Stephen Graham Jones's imagination for sure. And Mapping the Interior is a novella about this 15-year-old boy whose family has left the reservation. His dad died before they left, and one day he's walking down the hallway of his house and he sees what he thinks could be the ghost of his dad. And that really starts this whole series of events of him trying to figure out what this mysterious spirit is and what it's doing in his house. He also has a younger brother who he's trying to like take care of. He just feels like he's the man of the house now. So there's a lot of that going on. There's this, I think he's a sheriff or police officer, I can't remember, like showing up at the house and not being the greatest soul in the world, unsurprisingly. And it was just a very, even though there's a lot of action, even though there's a scene under a house, like porch situation, crawl space that I will never be able to unsee in my mind, I felt like there was also a lot of character depth and a lot of like character introspection. Like you were like thinking about these characters and what they were doing a lot. So yeah, have you read this novella, Katie?
I haven't. I've only read, I think the only thing of Stephen Graham Jones that I've read is The Only Good Indians. I have a couple of his other books on my TBR, but that's the only one I know for sure that I've read. But as, you know, as it's hard to escape, just to kind of be in the mystery thriller or horror community and not have heard rave reviews about Stephen Graham Jones, like I've heard really fantastic things about it.
Yeah. And I think Stephen Graham Jones, you know, he's written like a gazillion books, but he really made a name for himself with Mongrels back in, I think it was 2016. This came out like a year later in 2017. And it was just, I don't know, I feel like you began to see like his range, which is really cool. And so I haven't gone back and listened to other books before Mongrels, but I've listened to a lot since. So I've really enjoyed those and definitely would recommend if you were going on a trip and you want something a little smaller. I think it's 130-ish pages, somewhere around there. But yeah, I would definitely recommend Mapping the Interior by Stephen Graham Jones.
All right. Well, to continue with the to continue with the kind of horror theme, when I mentioned that I had a book about a road trip gone very horribly wrong, I was referring to the book The Hunger by Alma Katsu, which is a historical horror novel about the Donner Party. And where it takes the very true events of the Donner Party, which was, if you are not familiar with this element of American history, was a very ill-fated wagon train that was heading towards, I think, Oregon or somewhere on the West Coast. And they got caught in the Sierra Mountain Range in the winter, got snowed in, and had to resort to cannibalism in order to try and survive the winter. And they did not. So Alma Katsu takes that story, which in and of itself is horrifying, and says, what if there was something supernatural stalking the Donner Party train? And when that book was pitched to me, I was like, gimme right now. This is so up my alley. But yeah, I mean, I'm not going to go too far into the plot. I mean, that's kind of all you really need to know. Like, if that's ringing your bells, then this is the book for you. But to kind of complicate things, there is a young woman with the party, Tamsin Donner, and there are a number of people traveling with them that believe that she is a witch. And because that's the only way that they can explain all of the misfortunes that have plagued the wagon train since they left. I mean, we're talking the fighting amongst people, depleted rations, the mysterious death of a little boy that no one can explain. And so there are these things that keep happening. They believe Tamsin is to blame, but there is also this feeling that there is someone or something following them. They're not sure what, they haven't really seen anything, but there's just this creeping sense of unease that they're being followed. And she just nailed the creepy, foreboding sense that just comes from that storyline. And this was the type of book that whatever I was looking for when I picked that book up, this book knew, and it just satisfied that desire for a good, creepy feeling. And so this I would probably categorize is definitely something you could listen to if you are traveling with other people. I have talked to a number of readers who do not normally consider themselves to be quote unquote hardcore suspense or horror fans like me, but they read this book and went, whoa, this was really good. So it does have appeal in that sense. But if you know that there are some people that you're traveling with that are just like, nope, maybe keep this one for yourself. But if you are looking for something super, super, super engrossing, this will definitely fit the bill. And if you are looking, if you're feeling frustrated because you're traveling with other people, this is a reminder that it could be going a whole lot worse.
This is hilarious.
Yes.
Yes, I haven't read this book, but it's been on my radar because my family took a little road trip and we stopped at the Donner Party Museum as a family and went and just took a little tour. And if you are over there in California, I would recommend doing that. It is a very interesting museum and it talks about like all the different factors in there. And so when I was there, I heard about that book, Hunger, but there's also like a nonfiction, like a narrative nonfiction book called The Indifferent Stars Above. So I have a dream where someone reads both of them and talks about both of them. Maybe I need to be that person.
You might have to.
Yeah, but it's a fascinating story. Again, if you're not familiar with that part of American history, these people thought that they could take a shortcut and it didn't work well.
No, it did not. It ended about as badly as any vacation could, or not a vacation, any trip could possibly end. It was about as bad as it was ever going to get.
Yeah. Some people did survive in the end in the historical version, so I'm not sure what happens in the book, but...
Yeah, and it's been a few years since I've read it, so I would have to reread it. I think I remember how it ends, and obviously I'm not going to give any spoilers, but yeah, it's so good, so atmospheric. And yeah, I love this book so much. So again, that is The Hunger by Alma Katsu.
All right. Those are our four picks. And I guess it's time for new books. It's at the beginning of the month. So lots of stuff going on.
Yes. And the beginning of May is also the beginning of our new fiscal year at the library, which means the beginning of me ordering a bunch of books to get caught up on all the stuff I wasn't able to order in the last month. Oh, I have apologized to our cataloger. I've sent her like a few different orders of like 300 or 400 books at this point, where I'm just like, sorry, I've got to get my ordering done through July. I like to be a couple of months ahead of the monthly ordering. So May is a grand month for me, just diving in with new releases. But yeah, so I was going to say my pick for this one is actually part of a series that you have heard us talk about on Red or Dead before, part of the IQ series by Joey Day. So this is the sixth book in the series that is out on May 9th, and that is called Fix It. If you are not familiar with the IQ series, it's basically a modern take on Sherlock Holmes. If Sherlock Holmes was a scrappy guy named IQ from the LA Projects. It's a really, really smart, well-plotted series. So in this one, we have Isaiah Kintabe, who is IQ. His first love, her name is Grace, and she has been kidnapped by the professional hitman named Skip Hansen, who is also IQ's sworn enemy. He is absolutely deranged. He's determined to punish Isaiah for sending him to prison and destroying his life. And Isaiah and his sometimes partner, Juanel Dodson, they have to track down Grace and try to rescue her as her predicament grows more and more uncertain and complicated. And then while they are trying to locate Grace in time to save her, there is another complication that arises in the form of a homicide detective named Winnie Hando, who has something to prove, as homicide detectives often do. So Winnie sees IQ's efforts as an obstruction to the official investigation and a possible embarrassment, because an unlicensed private investigator cannot be seen doing the police department's job better than the actual department. So Winnie is trying to stop Isaiah at all costs while pursuing the case herself. And so each one is trying to hinder the other person's progress. And as it continues, Isaiah fears that even if they can bring Grace home alive, which is becoming more and more uncertain, things between them are going to be irreparably damaged. So yeah, this book sounds fantastic, and it also is a kick in the pants to me that I need to A, reread the first book in the series, and B, continue reading in the series, because I only got through the first book before moving on to other reading endeavors, but I really did enjoy it, and it's a really, it's a really, really smart, modern mystery series. Just really good if you like private investigator novels, if you like kind of books with the strong nod to Sherlock Holmes. And yeah, just a really, really interesting series. So if you have been keeping up with IQ and have been waiting for the next installment, it is here, or it will be here on May 9th. And again, that is Fix It by Joe Ide.
And my new book is Warrior Girl Unearthed by Angela Booley. Almost read the protagonist's name as the author's name. No, it's fine. So I read Firekeeper's Daughter when it came out a few years ago and really enjoyed it. I think that Angeline Booley is such a fascinating writer because she includes so many different moving parts to her YA mysteries. And so this next one is about a relative, the protagonist of the first book. So it's more like a companion book as opposed to a direct sequel, if that makes sense. And so we have Perry Firekeeper Birch, and she is a twin. And she is, I believe this book is looking at murdered and missing Indigenous women and Two-Spirit people. And so that is what the mystery revolves around. Perry and her family live up in the northern Midwest on a Great Lake. I cannot remember what we would call the area now, but it's really interesting to see how Angel Bully weaves in her culture with these mysteries in a way that if you are not part of this culture, you can understand and follow along. But if you are Anishinaabe, you can deeply connect with all these Easter eggs and all these parts of your culture that you can finally see on the page, which, you know, there haven't been a lot of them in the published by like Big Five publishers. So really love what she's doing. Love a YA mystery, and I'm just so excited for this book. So I pre-ordered it for my birthday, and it arrived today. I was very excited. So would recommend, and if you haven't read Firekeeper's Daughter, you can definitely go back and read that, but not necessary to enjoy this one. So yes, that is Warrior Girl Unearthed. And that's it. I think we've made it to the end.
I think we did, and your voice is still hanging in there. Way to go.
I know. I was like guzzling tea, so apologize for all of the teacup noises, but we made it, so I think it's worth it. All right. Well, that is our show. Thank you all for listening. And of course, as always, thanks so much to our sound editor, Jen Zink, for making us sound great. For show notes, you can head over to bookriot.com/listen. And for more recommendations and bookish goodness, head over to bookriot.com. And don't forget to check out our full stable of podcasts at bookriot.com/listen, or to search Book Riot on your podcast player of choice. If you'd like to send us an email with feedback or show suggestions, you can reach us at readordead@bookriot.com. Otherwise, you can reach us at Kendra, me, on Twitter and Instagram at KD Winchester. You can reach Katie on Twitter at KT_librarylady. And of course, those will be linked in the show notes because they always sound quite similar. And we will talk to y'all next time.
Bye.